death of me. It's my wife, and it's my life, because a maniac to my vein leads to a sinner in my head, and then I'm better off than dead.
Testing, 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 testing. Hello. You're listening to WMUC FM College Park 90.5. For the last time, my headphones aren't working. This is WMUC-FM, College Park 90.5. You're listening to Moral Hazard. We were here every Thursday at 10 p.m., but now we're not. Now we're doing something different because today's the last day. And, you know, it's with a heavy heart that I say this, but Moral Hazard is officially airing its last episode. I know the people who are eager to have music play at 10 p.m. on Thursdays are, you know, they're over the moon right now. They know that we're done with talk shows on this time slot. Moral Hazard has been running for two academic years. It's been running since the fall semester of 2025, so basically a year and a half. But, you know, because of the academic schedule, we get to call it 2 years. It's been a good time. Normally I have... a monologue, I have some thoughts, I have a speech that I say. Today, I'm just going to freestyle this opening. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got Romer here with me. Romer, say hi.
Hello, WMU...
Yep, WMUC-FM.
WMUC-FM.
College Park.
Glad to be here.
90.5. FM. We're on FM. Look, the world... Look, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, all right? When I started this show in September of 2025, the world was beautiful. Everyone lived in cotton candy houses. Everyone had a job where they at the cotton candy factory, and they made a bunch of money, and everything was great. You had two kids, half a dog, and three-car garage, 2.5 cars. Times have only gotten worse. The stock market has only gotten better. You just got laid off from your job, or you don't have a job and you're graduating college. The world sucks. Some of the cockroaches may have jobs. I'm one of those cockroaches. But for the most part, times are tough. And that's what Moral Hazard was about. Not what I actually said it was about when I interviewed, when I said that this would be a funny take on business news or something like that. They said I'd be funny. That's not true. There's a lot going on in this world. And there's a lot that may confuse you, dear stupid, idiotic resident of College Park. You don't know a thing. You need someone to tell you what you need to think. And that's what Moral Hazard was here for. We did business news. We did economics. We did markets, policy, culture. We talked about the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap so many times. We talked about Jimmy Kimmel going off the air. And it's all over. This is the last episode. This is the last time that I will be here to tell you what to think. Dear young duckling, it's time for you to go and swim out on the pond on your own. You got to move south for the winter. You got to learn. And I wish you the best. But from now until 11 p.m., Moral Hazard is here to tell you what to think. And we're going to go out with the bang, and we're going to tell you what to believe, what to think, what to know. And you're going to sit here, and you're going to like it. All right? Look, this is why you're here. You're here for me. For the past 2 weeks, you've been here for Romer. That's been it. That, you know... In the first semester, you were here for, the second semester, you were here for my girlfriend. She's fire. I had to fire her. She was, you know, just inappropriate at work. It was just ridiculous, you know, crying.
Had to go to HR.
Yeah, you know, we had to send her to HR. I was HR, and I told her, you're fired. But, you know, I want to take this time to thank all the people who have tuned in, all the people who have called in, all the people who have come and been guests on the show, all the people who have been co-hosts. this show would not have been the same without you. Because it would have still been me without you. And there wouldn't have been a second voice in the studio like there is today. Roma Chandra.
Yes, Stephen Fong.
You're back for the second week.
I am.
Do you feel any sort of way about being here for the finale?
I wish I was here earlier, if anything. You have a good show. You had a good show.
And I had a good show up until like week four of of the show.
Yeah. And I wish I got to see the downhill from the very top.
I mean, it really is a remarkable thing because, you know, in a lot of things in this world, they go up and down. Moral Hazard was kind of one of those things that just slowly decayed over time, like an old lady with Alzheimer's, you know? but, you know, we're here. We're still a shell of our former selves, and we're going to talk about what matters in the world or what doesn't matter, you know? Romer, you're here. You're here in a very important time. And because of that, we're only going to talk about the least important things of the world. How's your week been?
Steven, my week has been emotional.
Emotional.
I'm graduating next week, and I'm worried about having to fully believe that I'm a well-adjusted young adult. Because, I mean, you have to do that, right? You have to believe that you're a well-adjusted young adult when you graduate college. Otherwise, you're not going to find a job. You're not going to, you know, realize the metrics of success that you've defined the past 4 years or your entire life with.
Yeah.
And this last week, I've had to study diligently and not very efficiently.
Not efficiently?
Not very.
Well, I mean, is that just because you also want to have fun? You know,
the will to maximize a limited amount of time kind of minimizes like a feeling in a moment, like a presence in just exactly where you are, staying right here. And I'm excited to be here with you today, your last ever show.
Yeah.
I had a question for you.
Okay, shoot, man. What's the question?
My question was, describe your dream house to me.
My dream house?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Like, describe, you don't need to think about, like, family or proximity.
I don't need to think about who's in the house.
Metropolitan areas, you know, just describe what your dream house looks like, where it is, the amenities, the facilities, the architectural language, all these different things. Describe the house to me.
Gotcha. Well, look, let me preface it with this, all right? There is no greater dream than for me to LARP as, like, a Buddhist monk, all right? I want, and not in the actual sense, because I don't want to wear that. The robes are orange, too orange. It's ridiculous. I like to wear cool clothes. But I want to live an ascetic. Is it ascetic or ascetic? Ascetic, right? It's like, you know, you got nothing going on, you know, whatever. I want to live like a kind of below the means lifestyle. And I want everything to be small. So my dream house is a townhouse, just like any other on that block. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Tiny yard. You know, it's narrow house. But kind of old. And I just want to have a room where I can, like, set up my podcasting equipment and, you know, no, I'm kidding.
That's the next step. That's the next logical step.
No. Look, we'll never do podcasts here. But I do believe, like, in my, you know, in all seriousness, my dream house is a narrow townhouse. Something where I can fill it with all the things I like, but not have too much space. Because I feel like when you have too much space, then it's almost suffocating the amount of space.
Do you have a backyard in this dream house?
Yeah, but it's like a tiny little closed off thing. I've got my flowers. I tend to it. I don't have to like mow the lawn like really because it's just like paved. And then there's the mulched flowers.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I want.
But I didn't ask you what your favorite house was.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyways.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite house?
I want like a castle in Scotland.
Okay, like a historically important castle, or
not
like
necessarily
just
historically
build up
important,
a castle,
but just a castle
in
somewhere
Scotland?
Green, somewhere green, somewhere beautiful.
Okay,
somewhere,
we could go Ireland,
somewhere isolated. Yeah, I mean,
up
I don't
the
know
raw.
About the politics of Scotland versus Ireland.
Well,
right now.
Politics of I like Ireland more, man. We're, more, here at Moral Hazard, we don't believe in many things, but we are very pro Irish liberation.
corporate
tax haven as well.
Yeah,
yep,
right.
Yep, that too. We're pro. Those are two things we believe in: Irish liberation and Ireland as a tax haven. What's it called? The double Irish method.
I think it's like a legislative haven too to prevent like data privacy laws are very lax. I think so. A lot of MNCs, specifically like Meta and Google and stuff, they base their European operations out of Ireland. I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty nice. Okay, yeah. So
Okay,
castle.
So I want a castle, and I want this castle to have a moat of some kind.
Yes.
Right? I want to live out my dream of being, like, the last Ronin. I think because we are business school students, we have this idea that if you give a man a castle, he's going to defend that castle. The man would rather die defending his castle than let anyone take it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that castle, I want this castle to be something that is my own slice of heaven.
Are you going to actually like have guns in this castle or so? You're going to defend it? You have turrets?
Yeah, like those dogs, that those robotic dogs with like 50 caliber.
Not even a real dog?
I mean, I don't think I could like you have humanely the Palantir attach like a gun to a dog right now.
True. Okay, that's yeah. Fair. Well, I
don't know where Neuralink is going to go in the near future.
Yeah,
but
I'd be worried that Fido will shoot me if I don't give him his treats. Yeah.
But in this castle, I want there to be something to defend. And I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit today about where you see real estate as a commodity going in the near and distant future.
Oh, well, crazy segue. I'll tell you where I see it going, and here's where but I'll start with where it ought to be.
Okay. Dream state, utopia.
Real estate ought not to be as much of a luxury commodity as it is right now.
Mm.
I think that, I through hook or by crook, I think the United States should make a concerted effort to limit the amount of speculation that's done in real estate and also the amount of, like, rent seeking to, like, you know, reference Marx for a little. I think that it's net been a detriment to society. The idea that we've got like this semi-feudal state where you can no longer own your house and you must rent because like that's the only way that it's affordable, or else then you're just like getting this crazy mortgage at these crazy percent rates that we are at right now. And then effectively you're just renting from your bank for, you know, 30 years. What's the new one that they're doing?
Like 40 years. Yeah.
I think bottom line, your dwelling, whether it's a house or an apartment, should be a lot more standardized in cost. It should be a lot cheaper. It should take up much less of your living. But the way I see it right now, I think there's a huge capital interest in real estate, in the protection of real estate as a commodity. We've seen NIMBYs, we've seen, you know, lobbyists from vested interest groups. I think the HOA is, you know,
yeah, I was about to say,
detrimental
even if you own
to
your
that.
House, like,
right.
Your HOA still has a vice grip on you.
The HOA is one of the most evil things. People consider the HOA evil because it says you can't trim your flowers. I think the HOA is evil because it is effectively like a fake, it's a fake state that exists solely for the preservation of the home values.
Yeah, and like a vibe to your overall neighborhood.
It's not even, well, look, the vibe is like predicated on the fact that curating the vibe will keep home values high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about I don't want to see that. It's about I can't sell my house if I see that, if people see that, you know? Like, on a very marginal level, it's about what actually looks good and looks bad. If it was about what looks good, we should be allowed, I mean, every neighborhood with an HOA would have so much tree cover. It would have, you know, perfectly, paved roads. All the houses would look beautiful. No, but
it's about cohesion.
It's about your neighborhood looking better than the next neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. But I mean, you know, that's, they're a very small part of the problem, in my opinion.
So that's real estate in this country.
Yes.
Trump's in China right now.
Is he still in China? I thought he left. He's still there?
He might have left. I don't know. But I was thinking about Chinese real estate markets. They're kind of down right
now. That's having a tough time right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's where most of the Chinese working population puts their savings into real estate. And, you know, since there was that one company that filed for bankruptcy a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Was it Evergreen?
No, Evergreen was the one in the street.
Evergrande?
Something like that. Some commercial developer. And I'm thinking about what China is trying to do in these...
Evergrande, yep.
Tech, trade, and what was the third T that they talked about during these talks, this presidential visit?
No clue. Tech, trade,
yeah,
Taiwan.
Like, Taiwan, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. What do you think China's play was? Do you think, because you're seeing real estate markets going down in China, and you can see President Xi replacing a lot of his ministry right now, people that were very close to him getting slapped with corruption charges. And that's been something that's been a staple of President Xi's regime.
Yeah.
But China, where are they right now compared to the rest of the big dogs in the global economy? What are they trying to get out of a negotiation with the U.S. other than selling BYD cars in the U.S.?
Well, look, I'll clarify with this. I'm not very well researched on Chinese domestics as much as I am like American domestics. But I do know this. When Trump went to visit Xi in China, I'm certain that he was hoping Iran would be in a much better spot than it is now.
Yeah.
When you are going to China and you have, you know, wet the bed as much as you have in the Middle East.
You tell Jensen he can't come, then he pops up.
Right. And
a couple
I mean,
days later.
He's got Elon Musk. He doesn't even like Elon Musk.
He doesn't.
I'll say this. It felt like the U.S. was asking for aid more than it was asking for
trade.
Regardless of what it felt like, the U.S. is not leaving with anything that will help the United States people more than it helps China. I don't think there's a win-win. It might honestly be closer to lose win on the behalf of China. I think that's where it's looking. We'll have to see. Time will tell. It's clear the global order is shifting, though.
My conspiracy theory is that it's a cultural exchange to get more of the Chinese variant of the ABG to be emigrated from China into this country.
If it was a cultural exchange, it didn't do very poorly. I saw that Chinese state media wasn't even front paging the U.S. visit.
Really?
They were talking about Tajikistan on their front page.
What's happening in Tajikistan?
Right now? They just had their prime minister came to visit China, and they were like reinforcing trade ties or something like that. And then it's like, you know,
the U.S. also showed up too.
It's like it's on front page, but it's not the masthead, right?
It's
below that. I think China is smartly downplaying the American visit. I mean, you know, if they don't get what they want, it'll be like Trump never visited. If they do get what they want, then, you know, then it'll be something to celebrate. I guess time will tell. I don't think really the United States has many cards to bring to the table.
They have compute with Jensen.
That's
they
pretty much
have
it.
What?
They All have, we have are chips on China.
We have chips on China. We have what, like oil? Like maybe saying, you can buy some oil in the yuan and we won't embargo every Gulf state as a result or whatever they're doing. But I'm thinking more about China's demographic crisis right now. Since the one-child policy, China's projected to have a severely declining population by the year 2100. I think the term, I forgot the term for it. It's like a capacity or a support rate where it's the total working population in the denominator, and in the numerator, it's the retired population.
I see what you mean. Yes.
Like,
because there's no like replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. So China's in a spot where they need to start incentivizing population growth, and they have practically non-existent immigration into their country from abroad. So maybe they're trying to finagle a brain export type of trade. What would that look like? Where would Chinese brains go within the West, outside of the U.S., to kind of increase the CCP's soft power? Because you saw that mayor in California recently got indicted for espionage charges, right?
Yeah, ex-mayor, former mayor of what?
Arcadia, California.
Arcadia? Yeah. It's a major Chinese diaspora, like, community.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. When we're talking about, you know, brain exports, brain drain, as it were, my thought is this.
Brains aren't going into the country.
There was a lot of opportunity, and, you know, China took advantage of this to drain the brains of China. And I mean, it's not really an opportunity because they don't really get much back out of it. When you send your researchers to the United States or you send them to Europe, to answer your question of like where they would go, honestly, the isolationist direction that the United States is taking, they might not be the place for, you know, academics to go anymore. I think Canada is kind of emerging with Mark Carney as, you know, attempting to maybe take the seat of being the North American hub. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, there are countries like Germany that are kind of really expanding in terms of their international presence. The UK's,
their industrial presence.
The UK is floundering, but, it's interesting. I mean, China's already sending so many of their people, I mean, not as academics, but, you know, in a business capacity across the global South.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's where the return on investment is, right? I mean, when you send your researcher to go to the United States, he stays there. You don't get anything out of him. You've just trained someone for 22 years, and then they went to go get their master's and PhD in the United States, and they never left. But when it comes to, like, Guyana, my parents are from Guyana. We were able to go there. Huge Chinese business presence.
Belt and Road Initiative.
Huh?
Belt and Road Initiative.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's, like, what spawned the initial Chinese incursion into a lot of Africa. Not incursion, but just, like, a lot of the deals that they were doing for infrastructure projects, for port building, for port development, just creating a more interconnected 21st century Silk Road was what the Belt and Road Initiative was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then you saw, like, debt trap diplomacy come as a result of that, right?
I mean, I think that debt traps,
they're a little
overrated. I wouldn't say that, like, they're a red herring, but yeah, I will say, like, you know, it's because it's got debt in it that's why.
Yeah, like, all debts can have austerity.
That's why it's scary. I mean, at the bottom line, there's an equity trap. When the Chinese company comes in, you know, like in Guyana, for example, a Chinese multinational sets up an office in Guyana and they're hiring all the people and they're, you know, they're making all this product and they're selling all this product. It's still Chinese owned.
Yeah.
At the end of the
Chinese
day,
construction workers.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the money flows right back. So, I mean, I don't know about the economics of brain drain. I don't know that if there's any, like, major positive economics to it besides, like, international favor.
You can make an argument for, like, soft power, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, their presence in Southeast Asia is, like, where they're doing most of their skip trading from, right?
Right. There's certainly, like, a degree of influence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you can get from it. But, I mean, I think through, you know, industrialization, as it were, I think that's where like the most out of this, you know, Belt and Road Initiative might be coming from.
Hmm. You want to pivot to Jerome?
Jerome Powell?
Yeah.
What? When will that guy leave? Honestly, like, I was behind him for a minute, but now he's kind of, like, ticking me off. It's like, you got to just know. They don't want you at the party. Just go home.
He's a chair. He's not the chair anymore. I think Warsh?
Warsh just got confirmed. He's not in yet, but yeah, he just got confirmed today or yesterday.
Yeah.
54 to 45.
Something like that. Like a pretty...
I mean, it was party line. It was entirely party line. The only person that flipped was John Fetterman.
Why did he do that?
I wonder. Maybe it was the stroke he had in 2024. What a wonderful person to have as your senator. A guy who, as soon as he started work, just debilitating injury. You know, he can't even speak right. And, you know, the same time he flips parties. I think he was going to do that regardless. All right. Let's be real. We saw John Fetterman. We were like, we need a Dem in Pennsylvania by hook or by crook. And they put him in. This guy's wearing hoodies. He's voting against his own party.
What a beautiful idiom.
I want to know who's paying him. I already know who's paying him.
Who?
It's very public. So,
yeah. Someone else.
Yeah, he's got, you know, I want to know where his interests lie, okay? Mm. I mean, to be fair, like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Schumer Democrats?
Honestly, that's a new term to me.
But I just made that up. Like, you know, like the old school... industry Democrats, institutional Democrats.
They're politicians at the end of the day. They're going to tread a set of lines and they're going to try to maximize pleasing their base while still making their donors and PACs and super PACs happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's tricky. I have no idea how anyone on Capitol Hill ever gets work done when there's so many.
Well, they don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least it's pretty.
Yeah, right? That's all right. I mean, after January 6th, it kind of put a stain on my vision of the Capitol.
Really?
Like, I was like, wow, so like dumb guys can just walk in here. You get enough dumb guys, they can just take it over. I'm like, all right, well, it's kind of like a kind of a glass castle right there.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you could say that you make the argument for like get enough people to do anything.
Yeah,
to believe something.
Well, Epstein files kind of, you know, I don't think there are any sitting Congress people who have been like shown to be people in the Epstein files. But I mean, oh, shout out! Last episode, I want to take this time to shout out a member of the University of Maryland Board of Regents. He's a senator. He's a ex-NBA player, businessman. Now he's on the Board of Regents at UMD. Tom McMillan. He's also on the Epstein files.
Woo!
I've told you about him?
No.
Tom McMillan. Look him up. Tom McMillan Epstein. You're going to see a picture. You're going to see a picture that you, like, it feels like, you're uncovering something, like, truly hidden right there.
Okay.
You'll recognize the picture. You'll recognize the frame. What? You got bad Google search results. Scroll down.
This is Ecosia, actually. I'm trying to de-Google.
Now, you know that. You know that video. With Trump and Epstein, where they're, like, talking to each other.
God. That's Tom
McMillan. So, in the video where they are talking together, Tom McMillan is in the background, but he's cut out. And so, files come out, and now everyone's looking into this guy. Still on the Board of Regents. NBA, the only NBA player in the Epstein files.
Do you think it's a case of the wrong place, wrong time, or do you think it's
No, he was pretty well documented friends with Epstein.
Uh-oh.
Friend. Yeah, like, I mean, this isn't like there are UMD professors who have been in the Epstein emails, like, you know, looking for grants, whatever, they've been hooked up to him. This is different. These are personal emails talking about when are you in New York? I'll come visit. This guy badly behaved. I believe it through and through. Anyways.
University of Maryland. What are we doing?
We have shouted out Tom McMillan so many times. Did you vote in the SGA election?
I heard that it didn't pan out this time.
Well, there was the referendum. Well, I mean, like, main election, like, actually electing, like, SGA representatives didn't pan out. But there were referendums. One of them was asking for Tom McMillan to resign.
Okay.
And it, you know, won by a landslide. I think it was, like, 80-20 or something like that, the vote. But... I mean, at the end of the day, we'll see what happens. I think they already found his replacement, though. I think it's quiet that he's leaving. But I know there's a new guy coming in.
Okay.
To the Board of Regents. And I think that Tom McMillan is the vacancy.
He was written out quietly.
Yeah. You might recognize this name because he came to the Smith School. He's a Smith graduate. Jay Suni Bajaj.
The name sounds familiar.
He came and did a talk a couple weeks ago. But anyways, he's joining the Board of Regents. I'm not certain, but I think he's replacing that seat.
Interesting.
But it's like it's not been formally announced or anything like that. So you heard it here, folks, people. Jay Suni Bajaj is joining the University of Maryland Board of Regents, whatever value that may bring you.
Allegedly. Through the grapevine.
Well, yeah, he is. You can take it from me, all right? I got it. I heard that.
A radio personality.
I heard that from the dean of the Smith School at the talk, kind of spoiled the announcement.
Oh,
but
yeah?
Yeah, he's joining.
I love Kunana.
I mean, he's pretty cool. Yeah, no, look, I love Kunana. Kunana's great.
Congratulations on
But Bajaj is a really cool guy.
Is he? I registered for that talk, but I had to do something else that day.
The talk was all right. I mean, he's got a very interesting personality, and I encourage people to look him up. Honestly, one of the better UMD graduates to like actually continue to be involved at the school.
Yeah.
Considering what we've got now, he started a IT consultancy firm. Built it up, sold it. Now he's like a billionaire, you know, angel investor type
thing.
He's
doing M&A, right?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's involved in some company that's doing that right now. No. He's got like his own like shop, basically,
okay,
where he's
okay.
buying tech companies. But like really pretty smart guy, you know, like very, very cool to talk to. He showed up to the talk. Everyone else is wearing suits. He is wearing, oh my God. It actually kind of frustrated me. He was wearing like this... like thin, like polyester hoodie.
Ugh.
You know what I'm talking about? Like those sports hoodies that are like thin as
like
thin
a sun hoodie.
Yeah. He's wearing a sun hoodie. Under a bright red suit.
I hate the Silicon Valley like startup investor made it big fashion sense. It's just like
it's very like
It's too
performative.
It's performative
because you know what you should be wearing. Yeah. You know what you should be wearing. Like if he showed up wearing a very nice hoodie and like a nice pair of like denim tears jeans, you know, yeah, I would have been fine with it. You
wear some capital.
Wear some Chrome Heart jeans, you know, come out stunting, you know, some respect for what you're wearing. But I mean, it was kind of sloppy. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, he was a cool guy.
Yeah,
he was a cool guy. I really did not like that outfit though.
Really?
I felt like Coach Loxley was there.
Which really?
I've never seen Coach Loxley before in real life. He has, I think he's on Ozempic.
Who's not?
That's my speculation. Because all the pictures I've seen of him, he was much thinner in person.
Uh-huh.
But it was like, it was not the like, I went to the gym kind of thin or like, I'm on a diet kind of thin. You know, like, you had the kind of like, gaunt expression.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. Coach Loxley's still there. He's friends with Coach Loxley, so we know Coach Loxley's not getting fired anytime soon. But I was like, you know, you showed up to this. We got all these people here. Everyone's dressed up, and you're kind of like, you're kind of winging it, man. I mean, you're joining the Board of Regents. Let me show a little bit more respect for the institution. To be fair,
are we respecting the institutions that we're using right now? How much respect are we going to give the University of Maryland?
How much
after
am
graduating?
I?
Yeah.
How much are you? Are we talking we as in the two people in here right now?
Open prompt.
Look, I respect Maryland for what it gave me, but I also had to take points away from what it took from me. And that was probably $1,500 in parking tickets over the past 4 years. Definitely more, actually. I think it's $1,500 in the past 2 years. So I've probably gotten way more. And you know what? For that one, I kind of do have an axe to grind.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the parking tickets were ridiculous. I bought a parking pass at lot 11B. That's the one right behind the varsity.
Yeah.
They took me off the mailing list. And so if I wasn't tracking the schedule of events at UMD, if I didn't know that there was a football game, if I didn't know I had to relocate for Maryland Day, didn't know that, then they would just tow my car that's $190 in tickets right there. Because you get the ticket for being in the wrong spot, and you get $100 for them having to move your car 50 feet. Look, man, I'm a student. I don't understand why we've got to... I'm actually getting mad now. I don't understand why I have to move my car so people who graduated 30 years ago get to get drunk in my parking space. They should have to go. There is a lot literally across the street. It's 300 feet that way. That is perfectly fine. You pick the one overnight lot where you've got students who actually go here and have exams and have to study and have to do real things, real student things. They have to move to accommodate you so you can get drunk in the parking lot? No, man.
And all that money is going to the Purple Line, which isn't even opening.
It's not going to the Purple Line. University of Maryland's not paying for the Purple Line. You know what it's going towards?
Where's it going towards?
It's going towards renovations of ESJ and the build-out of Zupnik Hall and all these other buildings that we kind of don't need, but they look pretty.
Yeah, I mean, UMD Construction Park is like the moniker that I was given, or that was told to me, like my freshman year.
Yeah.
And
it's only gotten worse.
Yeah, I would say like in the last semester or two, there's just been like a huge surge in so many random license plates on campus. Have you noticed that?
Like, I haven't.
I'm seeing states that I've never seen a license plate before in my 23 years of life.
What are they here for?
That's what I'm saying. They all look to be like contractors of some kind. And
yeah.
I just like, what's going on? Like how much, I think it has something to do with like the steam system that... is like
all of this money,
around.
All of this money, and the University of Maryland is still heated based on that stupid steam system. If you live at any of the dorms here, besides like the very fresh ones, you're on the same heating system as everyone else, where it has to be 60 degrees for 5 days before they turn on the heat or turn on the AC.
Yeah. At least it's not getting too hot this time of year. I remember thank God for global warming, right? Because this time of year, years past, it was... sweltering.
Honestly, I can deal with like for it to be what is it? Is it May right now? It's May. It's mid May. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh my God, I'm so out of it.
We're graduating.
For it to be mid May and I'm walking to Seastone to meet up with you and I feel like Bob Dylan with my little jacket. I'm like huddled. I'm listening to Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. I like that song, by the way. You know the song?
No.
Bob Dylan?
I was thinking about Timothée Chalamet.
I haven't seen that movie.
My dad fell in love with Timothée Chalamet after watching that movie.
All right. Does he know that Timothée Chalamet is a little too young for him?
Oh, I don't think. Age is just a number.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's like 30 or something.
Is he really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in his 30s. We can check this. I'm really certain that Timothée Chalamet is actually like in his 30s, or at least he's like pushing it. Yeah, no, yo, he's 30. Yeah. 1995. Oh God, get this guy off. Look, man. Timothée Chalamet, I used to like him. I used to like him as an actor.
Uh-huh.
Regarding this whole Marty Supreme rollout that happened the past year, I kind of got turned off from it. I was like...
By the rollout or by the movie?
I was turned off by the rollout. The movie I haven't seen, to be fair.
It's a...
Well, I already saw Uncut Gems multiple times.
Okay.
And saw... And, you know, from what I gathered on Marty Supreme, it's just Uncut Gems with ping pong.
Yeah, it's a little less anxious the entire time.
Less anxious.
Yeah,
okay.
In the sense that... it's just a guy with a singular goal, and he doesn't give a hoot about what comes in the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same as a gambling addict.
Right?
Yeah, well, I like Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, acting.
He acts?
Yeah, he's acting. Did you not see it?
I did not.
Okay, yeah. He's got, like, a pretty major role in that.
Oh!
The guy with the glasses.
You're so right.
Yeah.
He spanked him.
Yeah, with the paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, Kevin O'Leary acting, you know, gotta see it. But, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, she's a decent actress. I haven't seen anything, like, particularly bad from her. Odessa Azien, I don't really know anything about her. She kind of feels like a transplant to me. I don't really know much about her. You know what I'm talking about?
I think everyone's a transplant in Hollywood in some degree or capacity.
Well, yeah. You know, you've seen her recently.
In Marty Supreme, yeah.
Well, you haven't seen Marty Supreme. I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
yeah,
I've seen Marty Supreme. You haven't seen Marty Supreme.
You said you hadn't seen Marty Supreme. You saw Marty Supreme.
I said I haven't watched Uncut Gems.
Oh, no. Kevin O'Leary's in Marty Supreme.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Same page.
All right. Yeah, now we're good. Kevin O'Leary, I have to shout him out because he's Irish. Irish Catholic. Kevin O'Leary, everyone. You know, friend of the show.
Shout out Ireland.
Yeah. Shout out Ireland. You know, I used to like Guinness, but then I learned that...
Shout out Hia.
Hi Hia. What is she listening?
They're listening right now. Yeah.
Oh, they're listening. Okay. Yeah. Hia. Well, you know what? We can do a call-in segment. I actually have to run an ad though, or a PSA. Sorry, not an ad. Well, you know what? It's let's do I don't know. Let's do Best Buddies. This is a PSA by the Best Buddies of, I guess, College Park, University of Maryland.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMD.
All right, we're back. Well, you know, we've only got 20 minutes left on the last episode. We might as well talk about something new that's happening. The FDA's chief under the Trump admin, Odessa's a Nepo baby. Her mom is the voice of Bobby. What? Is that even a Nepo baby? Your mom being the voice of Bobby Hill? What? No, that can't be true.
Everyone's got a crazy connection somewhere, right?
If you make my God. Yeah, she was Bobby Hill in King of the Hill. Wow. And she voiced Margaret Pearson in Pepper Ann. You ever watch Pepper Ann?
Vidya in Tinkerbell.
Wait, what? She was in Tinkerbell? The Tinkerbell franchise. Yeah. I thought it was just... Did you ever watch... Oh, Milo Murphy's Law. I tried watching that. Did you ever watch Phineas and Ferb growing up?
Big fan of Phineas and Ferb.
I love Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
I tried to rewatch it as an adult. It didn't hit the same.
Yeah, I heard they extended it for some reason.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or they renewed it or something?
Yeah, they're making new ones. I mean, you got to milk that.
You have a good IP that has a nostalgic factor for people.
I mean, look, Henschel's rent is due, right? He's got to do...
Rent-seeking behaviors.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz. That's close. Yeah, that's kind of...
Can you do a Perry the Platypus impression?
No, I can't. Can you?
No.
All right. Well,
I was hoping you could.
I didn't even ask. Wait, let me double check which impressions I have on deck right now. I think I updated my story, my spam. No, I only have Warren Buffett on here right now. I think I got something else.
Can you do Smeagol?
No, of the Rings? I've never watched Lord of the Rings. Have you watched that?
I have like vague memories of specific scenes from the movie. My dad, he owns like all of the extended editions on Blu-ray and stuff. So I'm pretty sure I'm named after.
Is your dad
character.
A geek?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, because we had a dog named Frodo.
That's crazy that you had a kid. You wouldn't expect that,
right?
What? No, we're going down in listeners, guys.
No!
Tell your parents to tune in. So, you know, your dad's a nerd.
He's a nerd. What he named he, me he after do? A Lord of the Ring character.
Actually?
He works in IT supply chain consulting. Bortomer.
How did, what?
B-O-R-O-M-I-R.
B-O-R-O.
He's from that meme, One Does Not Simply. Yeah.
Is that your full name?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he just like cut off the B.O.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Dude.
Funnily enough, my sweat doesn't smell.
What does that have to do with Lord of the Rings?
He cut off the B.O.
Oh, whoa, dude. That was good. I didn't even get that.
We got there.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about the One Does Not Simply meme. I've never watched it. He's just like, One Does Not Simply walk into something. It's a place in Lord of the Rings or something.
something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched some of the Star Wars.
I'm a big fan of Star Wars.
Did you like that new trilogy?
I heard they're trying to spin it off into like an alternate universe with the new season of Ahsoka.
It's an alternate universe?
Yeah, like...
With Rey is an alternate universe?
Yeah, like all the Rey stuff. What was it? The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and then Rise of the Skywalker.
I will say, like, the alternate universe method is...
Mordor.
Mordor. Oh,
my precious?
My precious. I can't do it. I don't really know what he sounds like. All right, Mordor. Yeah, whatever. But I will say the multiple universes gimmick is one of the greatest ones to ever be invented, because it's just the perfect cop-out when you hire the wrong writers and you get the wrong producers to end up with the worst IP known to man. You can just go like, we're going to go to Timeline 2 now.
We'll retcon it.
Yeah. Iron Man, an alternate universe, he's actually Doctor Doom.
Yeah, have you kept up with Marvel or like any of the
I watched
IP?
The new Fantastic Four. That was terrible.
It wasn't a good movie.
Have you watched that?
I did.
Oh my God. Because it came out around the same time as Superman.
Yeah, I liked Superman. I thought it was a good
Superman.
Family movie.
I think when you like to watch Superman and Fantastic Four in the same week, yeah. it was night and day. The plot of Fantastic Four was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're like...
Like, they have such a cool character, like Thanos.
A god? What?
The planet guy.
Yeah, what? Oh, we're not really that good at this.
No, we're really not.
Yeah, mega guy or whatever. I don't know.
He's a planet.
Yeah, Galactus.
Galactus.
Yeah. For Galactus to go like, can I actually have your kid? And you're literally sacrificing... You're risking the entire Earth... Because you were having trouble with, like, fertility. That is the most ridiculous plot point I see in my life. For that, Pedro Pascal should have been smitten by lightning for that. Or, like, it was ridiculous. I've never... That was the dumbest plot. They went back home to Earth. All right, so they were in space. They meet Galactus. Galactus is like... He points at her pregnant baby, her belly. He's like...
I want that one.
He's like, can I get that little baby? She's like,
in the comics,
no.
He's OP. In the comics, he's overpowered.
He's pretty overpowered in the movie, too. I mean,
him. Like, the son. Like, the Reed and Susan.
Oh, yeah.
Child.
In this one, he's kind of just, like, the Incredibles kid, where he just, like, randomly gets superpowers towards the end. Smote? Smote is a very... All right, dude. We're getting... All right. Can Hia call in, all right, to input? Because I'm getting... You're kind of backseat driving right now, Hia.
Hia, you want to call me?
Yeah. Hia, you can call in. You know, we do call-ins all the time.
How do they do?
but...
Not smoke. For the last show. For the last show, let's keep it to...
No, last show, we could call in. Yeah, it's whatever. But yeah, look. You go to space. A god points at your pregnant belly. He's like, can I get that baby or else I'm going to destroy your planet? You say, no, run away, go back to Earth. You're like... The gods said they told the people of Earth. Oh, we got someone on. Hia, say hello.
Hi, I'm Romeo's cousin.
Hi, Romeo's cousin. Look, Hia, you seem to know a lot more than we do.
I know about dumb shit. Like in the beginning, when y'all were talking about like China's infrastructure and their housing economics, I was like, wow, I'm learning so much.
Yeah, no, you're good. Here, we have an FCC regulation, so we lost the last 8 seconds. But you said, you know, now that we're talking about pop culture, this is your wheelhouse.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. Did you watch the Fantastic Four movie?
I didn't, because I heard it wasn't very good.
Okay, did you watch the Superman movie?
Absolutely. In fact, I did buy it.
You bought, like, the DVD?
Yeah, physical media is the way to go. Everything's going to be taken from us if you keep it, you know. Like,
oh,
on digital,
God.
So.
You know, I actually have experience with that. There used to be this service called Vudu that...
Vudu?
Yeah, they got bought out by Sony, I think, or Fandango. And I think Sony owns it. I don't know. Anyways, and my family, we owned a bunch of movies on Vudu. But now we can't access that entire catalog because of this buyout.
Oh, Fandango at Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the life, man. Get used to it because you're going to lose Paramount Plus. I know you wanted to see what? What is on The Office? What is on Paramount Plus?
Day of the Jackal.
Look,
that's a good show.
Well, we got a guest on. We got a secondary guest on.
Hia,
why don't you? I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on Lex Luthor crying at the end of Superman?
It was actually really cathartic. I was like, thank God we finally get to see this incel, expletive B-boy, right? Like, break down and lose his mind because he's not getting what he wants, and that's all he's ever gotten, right? It's really nice to see, like, a narcissist get their comeuppance, I think. So I was really... I don't know. I felt fed.
Well, look, I'll say this as a representative of the Robert H. Smith School of Business.
Yes.
Lex Luthor is just so much more relatable to me as a capitalist, you know?
Yeah, I see Lex Luthor every single day.
Look, there are two points on why I love Lex Luthor, okay?
Right, of course.
There's three. Okay, so he made a bunch of money doing business, mm-hmm. all right? He's got hatred in his heart so bad that he'll go out of his way to just dunk on someone because he's too much of a goody two shoes. All right. I hate Boy Scouts. Third of all, he's bald and I can see that in my future. And he's just one of those bald, like, legends, you know? Who else do we have? Jeff Bezos? Like, that's actually... Jeff Bezos is a guy who's doing real bad.
That's, like, the next person I think of when it comes to, like, bald representation.
Right. But, like, Lex Luthor isn't really hurting anyone because he's a comic, right? Jeff Bezos, real guy.
Yeah.
You know, Lex Luthor, look, I'll give you this.
You don't think of, like, Lex Luthor as Jeff Bezos.
Well, I think of Jeff Bezos as doing Lex Luthor LARP. That's different. I will say this. Luthor Corp, I have no record of Luthor Corp employees using bottles as urinals.
True.
Yeah. I bet they got a pension plan.
Lex Luthor is treating his employees with, like, dignity.
Okay, but do you see what kind of clothes they're wearing? They clearly got the money, man.
Yeah.
You see?
I mean, you're looking at his inner circle, the people that are gleefully, you know, working for him. They're so excited to do some genocide, right?
No, there was that one guy that turned. There's that one guy that changed. Also, they're not doing genocide.
They're killing a population of one.
Oh, right, I forgot about that whole thing.
Yeah.
No, wait, because of that thing in the Middle East that they were doing. Oh, wait, you know, I take it all back. You've actually schooled me. I forgot about that whole side plot of Superman where, like, Lex Luthor was actively funding a genocide.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He was Russian. Yeah. He was, like, the despot.
Yeah.
He was Russian.
It was just like, it was a fictional country, but we know what it was. And he was just like, yeah, take it over. And we can, he wanted apartments or something. I don't know what he wanted there.
Multi-use housing.
Going to do land development.
As that, really?
We're going to do, like, condos and land development for, you know, a country that is not real. Am I right?
Well, you know what? As a Robert H. Smith school, you know, we go to UMD, we go to the business school at UMD. I'm going to have to backtrack again and say that...
Land development.
I like Lex Luthor even more specifically for that side plot. I gotta say, you know,
you really want to go on record and say you like a...
Hia, a member of our Board of Regents is in the Epstein files. I can say whatever I want.
I just heard that member was getting, you know, like, silently dismissed.
In theory. Well, we don't know. It's not certain. We'll see. Hia, do you go to UMD?
I go to Teachers College.
Oh, is that the one in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Got you. That's a cool one. It's next to Columbia, or am I crazy? Oh, that's
it's one of the Columbia affiliates.
Dude, I went to Columbia in 2023. That was one of the best times of my life. That place is so beautiful.
I've never been.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
You gotta go inside, like, the compound that they have. They got, like, a whole block to themselves, built up all the buildings around it. Inside, it's like a courtyard type thing. It's so pretty. Oh my God.
I'm always telling Romare to visit, but, you know.
Well, he's got it. So is Oates here.
To get his tattoos.
You got to Bushwick, Brooklyn to get your tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Bushwick once. It kind of sucked. Is Bushwick nice? I think I just went at a bad time.
I lived there for 2 years. I liked it a lot.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm just biased. I only went there once. I had high expectations because I had heard about it in all the Instagram reels.
Like Biggie's Brooklyn.
Well, I was just expecting like a bunch of like purple haired people walking around
in good outfits.
Like, well, yeah, and just like, you know, being badly behaved. When I went there, it was just like, I went to, what's it called? Maria Hernandez Park, and it was just like,
yeah, gorgeous.
It was just like, you know, people having intercourse in public and like shooting up. I was like, all right, this kind of sucks. I was like, oh, I'm going home.
That's my summer of love. Don't make fun of it.
Shooting up or intercourse in public?
Why not both?
All right.
Why
well,
not at the same time, am I right?
Well, you know, if I ever live in Bushwick, I may have to take it up. But Hia, thank you for calling in. You are the last call in to ever happen on this radio show. That's a very special thing.
I'm so honored. Thank yes. you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, let me know if that new Doctor Doom movie is good.
I haven't seen a Marvel movie since, what, Phase 2?
Oh, well, you know their phases, so you know what? You're already out nerding me. It doesn't. You don't even have to watch it. I don't even know what the phases are. But, yeah, thank you, Hia.
Bye, Hia.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. It's your last 5 minutes.
Last even. 5 minutes.
You'll should never I, be allowed on shortwave radio.
Should
again.
I just? Should I just? Should I just alt right now?
Monologue.
I'm gonna monologue alt right now. Moral Hazard has been here for 2 years, by my count. When I interviewed for this radio show, I went into this office. The office is about 20 feet away. I walked into the office. And they asked me what I was going to do. And I lied. And I told them that I was going to host a business news radio show with some comedic elements. And it would be scripted every week. Well, that was the main lie. Most of it. Everything else ended up panning out except for the fact that I would put effort into it.
That you would come prepared.
And despite my terrible ratings, and despite...
Their ratings?
No, not really. But I mean, people will listen to it.
On the street. Yo,
people
Steven.
On staff have listened to it, but like, despite not being prepped, and despite not being particularly funny, and despite not covering business news as much as I implied that I would, they've renewed me. They renewed me 3 times. I'm on my 4th season, and in that time, I've learned a lot, and I've grown a lot. I've gone from a hot-headed idiot to, you know, sometime reasonably tempered idiot. And I don't think I've learned all that much in terms of, like, what's going on in the world or how things should be or where we're at right now. But I have learned how to yell, and I have learned how to just keep going for an hour, you know? And I think that's one of the most important things I've taken from this. I will say, Moral Hazard, the decision to do Moral Hazard has been one of the best decisions of my life. Or one of, like, the worst decisions. We're, like, still... it's somewhere between best and worst. I haven't figured it out. I've been invited to a lot of things that I've had to cancel on to be here. Also, it's, like, kind of geeky and, you know, I could have spent an hour every week... Kinda,
At Seastone.
I could have spent it at Seastone just, you know, getting drunk and disappointing my parents. But instead, I kind of made them proud. But we'll have to figure out what's that... You know, what the real trade-offs were. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know what life would be like if I didn't do this show. I'd probably be...
Would you be a better person or a worse person?
No, I think I'd be under the bridge that, you know, Prank Branch Trail, you know, that connects Anacostia and, like, the Varsity.
I know exactly the bridge you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, they got the red light, so you can't be homeless there because it just shines on you in the middle of the night.
I was thinking about the river and how I would, like, skip rocks there.
Oh, no, that part's cool, too.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd be under a bridge somewhere. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll have to figure out what the alternate timeline is, see what the writers have to come up with. But
the monkeys and the typewriter?
Yeah, monkeys and typewriter. I mean, you know, this is one of the worst things they've ever put out. They were supposed to put out Shakespeare. They put out the plot for this world that we live in. Look, I'll say this.
Those silly monkeys.
Those stupid, stupid monkeys with the stupid typewriters. Don't they know that Microsoft Word is only $70?
LibreOffice, open source.
LibreOffice, you open source text editor?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be...
Document editor.
I'll be darned.
I'll be darned.
I'll be darned. I'm not writing on an open source. Anyways, we're on the last minute. Look, thank you to everyone who has tuned into Moral Hazard ever. Now that I am done with this, now that I can wring my hands, I'm going to be having the time of my life in Hamburg, Germany. I'm going to be on my worst behavior. I've learned zero lessons in my life, and I plan to never learn them ever again. Some people go their whole lives learning lessons, making mistakes and learning lessons.